And all of God's people said, amen. Praise be to God. Amen. We thank God for our men. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, how we love and thank you so much. We are so grateful again to again be into your house of worship. So thankful again to be in your house of prayer. We're grateful for our men who shared and helped us to lift up Zion songs. And Lord, we do declare that we want to stay in your will. We pray in particular, oh God, again, that you would stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice, touch these lips of clay that I may be able to edify your people according to the power that works in me. And oh God, we pray that you might speak to the stillness of our hearts, that we might know we've heard from on high. And when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give you all praise, all glory, and all honor which is already yours. In the wonderful name of Christ Jesus, we do pray. And together, all of God's children shouted, amen, 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 amen. Praise God for our men today. Amen. Amen. It is again indeed a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. And those of you who have been following along with us know that we are in a series, and we're going to wrap that series up today out of the book of James. And I pray that this book has certainly been a blessing to you. It's blessed my soul. I know that a whole lot of times that I share God's word, it cuts me for it comes out. Amen. It for I can never preach it. It's it hits home. And so we're grateful for our brother James sharing with us some practical information in regards to our walk with Christ. There are many who declare matter of fact, it was Martin Luther who said that James was a book of straw simply because it didn't have many theological doctrinal issues that he dealt with, but he did deal with the practical issues of our Christian faith. And that's what I wanted to bring to you, and I pray you got something out of it, and I pray that somehow or another we begin to live out our faith in this world. I want to just log on to these last two verses of chapter 5. I'll give you these bones and you put the meat on it when you get home. Again, it's good to see all of you who have logged in via Facebook Live and YouTube, and also our website. And just be patient with us. If it ain't on yet, it's coming on. Hang in there. And just if you can't get on, switch quickly to Facebook Live. I know that's on. Amen, somebody. I know that's on. Listen, last few verses. It says, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I want to put a tag on this text, talk about for a time the tidbit, all the difference in the world, all the difference in the world. It was, if you will, the little girl who walked the beach after a great typhoon had hit her homeland. And she discovered that millions of starfish had been washed up upon the shore. Her heart was broken for these helpless little starfish. And one by one, she began tossing the baby starfish back into the ocean. After several hours, an elderly man walked upon the little girl and noticed what she was doing. And unwilling to help her, he belted out, you foolish little girl, do you think that you're going to save all of these starfish? Do you think that what you're doing is going to make a difference? The little girl looked at the man, held up a starfish and said, "Sir, maybe not, but to this one, it will make all the difference in the world." That's where I want to hang my hedges on today, because I believe, beloved, that as Christians and as the church, we have to make a difference in the world. Right up front, I wish you would. Just type it in the comment section. Just say, "I've got to make a difference. I've got to make a difference. I've got to make a difference." The truth of the matter is, beloved, I believe that a lot of Christians and a lot of churches have forgotten why God placed us in the world. For most Christians and churches who ought to care have failed to care about those around them who are helpless and hopeless, those who are down and out and cannot find their way. To conclude our study out of the book of James, James gives it to us straight with no chaser. He leaves no stone unturned, and he keeps it 100. The truth is, in reminding us that every Christian is to make a difference in the world, every Christian carries a responsibility as well as a great accountability in rescuing the wandering and to go after those who've gone astray. Let's consider what James has to say about this matter and evaluate if we would, as believers, make all the difference in the world. I just want to let you know I only got 2 points today. And I got 2 sub-points to my point. So if you're taking notes, the first thing that I want you to see is this. I want to see the mistake that causes drifting. Listen, we read in verse 19 where James says, "My brothers, if any one of you wanders from the truth," the word brother there is the Greek word adelphos, and it occurs 18 times in James' epistle. It means, if you would, one who shares with another's mutual life. It is, James is not writing to a group of lost people. He is writing, again, to saved people. He begins verse 9 by speaking about a tragic mistake that has befallen one of the brethren or one of our church members. The burden of this tragic mistake involves 2 things. First, it involves that we have to accept the possibility. Watch what it says again. "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth," James is talking again about a believer. A tragic mistake hasn't been committed, but it is a possibility that must be accepted. The word "if" in this verse is key to the verse. The use of the word means that James was not referring to an actual event in the past, but to a probable event in the future. The point is that it is possible for a believer to fall into sin and slide back from the things of God. That's what we used to say in days gone by when we call someone a backslider. I wish somebody would help me. And James is saying that it is not a remote possibility, but a real possibility that a fellow believer will leave the path of the things of God. He is not saying that it definitely will happen, but it could very easily happen. I wish somebody would help me right here. The truth is, it reminds me of Robert Robertson, one who was one of the young and up-and-comers in England. He was touted to be one of the greatest preachers of his time. By the age of 25, Robertson was pastoring one of the largest and one of the greatest churches in London. Also, Robertson had penned one of the great hymns of the faith, "Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing." However, Robertson suddenly experience a lapse in faith. He turned his back on the church, on his family, on his faith, and on God. A number of years went by, and no one heard anything from Robert Robertson. One day, Robertson was riding a train, and he was sitting next to a woman who was reading a book with great enjoyment. He could not help but notice her enthusiasm as she scrolled through the pages of that book. Finally, Robertson asked her what she was reading, and it was a book of hymns. She said, "Listen to these words. Oh, how they bless my soul." It goes like this: "Oh, to the grace, oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it for thy courts above." When she finished, she noticed that Robinson had buried his head in his hands, and she asked, "What is the problem? Why are you so upset?" Robertson replied, "Ma'am, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote those words." He went on to say, "I would give 1,000 lives to have now what I knew then." Listen, we ought not turn our nose up at Robert Robertson, because Robert Robertson's experience is what that many Christians have experienced in their own Christian faith. They have experienced a lapse or a wandering. And if you don't believe me, just keep on living and you'll see how there have been many who, my brothers and sisters, used to be on fire for God, but the flame has been reduced to a flicker. We'll see that there are people who used to be close to God, but now they are away from God. They used to desire the things of God. Now they seem to shun the things of God. And James is not saying that it has to happen or it will happen. What James is simply suggesting is that it could happen. He closes this little book of his by suggesting that all of us could fall at some time or another. It doesn't have to happen. It may not happen, but it could happen. And brothers and sisters, he is saying that it is a real possibility that one of our brethren or even you and I could fall and commit a tragic mistake. Secondly, we accept the possibility, we must also admit the problem. It's in the text. Watch this. I don't want to think you to think I'm making this up. What happened to this believer that James may have fallen? What happened? What caused them to commit such a tragic and catastrophic mistake? Why are they who used to be on fire for the Lord now cold for the Lord? Notice the word wander that James used. He describes the problem that a brother has erred from the church. The word in the Greek is plano, and it gives us our English word planet. The word means to roam or to go astray. The word was often used to illustrate how sheep would wander and stray from the fold. However, James uses the word, use of the word was indicative of the ancients who watched the skies and saw the planets as wanderers among the fixed stars of heaven. When James uses the word, he saw those fixed stars in the church, those who were once faithful to God and living for God, but they now wandered or erred or went astray. They had become like planets wandering among the stars. The verb is in the aorist tense, which indicates that the wandering was not habitual, but a one-time or occasional slip. It was a mistake or an accidental matter. They wasn't trying to mess up. They wasn't trying to go astray. They wasn't trying to wander. They wasn't trying just to be out there and leaving God. It's just something that happened in their life. It was something that happened happened in the past, but and it was not the case of a believer who was just flat out living in sin, repeating sin over and over again. In other words, James is describing someone who had been living for God, but strayed, but wandered, but left the fold. Listen, what did they wander from? I'm glad you asked, because James answers the question. He says, beloved, that they wandered from the truth. And I don't need to tell you what the truth is. Listen, for one thing, you know that Jesus is the truth. John 14, line 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In other words, someone who wanders from the truth wanders away from the Lord. James seems to say that if we do not stay close to the Lord and his word, I wish somebody would help me, we will wander from the Lord. And today, beloved, more and more people say that doctrine does not matter. They claim that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. The truth of the matter is, beloved, there's a whole lot of faulty and false doctrines out there that will help, that will make people err from the truth. All of this blab it and grab it and name it and claim it theology can mess folk up simply because they think that they are supposed to be rich and have money. But the Bible is clear, as the Apostle Paul says. He said, I want to know him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection, but he goes on to say, I want to know him and the suffering. I wish somebody would help me, because everything is not always high on the mountaintop. Sometimes life is lived in the valley low, and we got all of this faulty theology and doctrine that's out there. You got to know what you believe, because doctrine does matter. Let me say that one more time. Hear me and hear me good. Doctrine does matter, what you believe. And if you stray away from the real truth, what the word of God says, you are prone to wander when you go through challenges, trials, and tribulations. Preach, reach. I'm trying to do that if you would let me. The truth of the matter is, beloved, the Hebrew mind, like James, never separated the intellect from the behavioral, or the doctrine from the moral, as the Greeks did. Simply put, the Hebrews believed that truth was nothing, merely something people profess, but something that people practice. That's what James is trying to get us to understand, is that faith without works is dead. It's not just about what we profess, it's about what we practice. And the Bible is clear, it does matter what we believe, because what we believe determines how we behave. Hear me and hear me good. And our belief determines our behavior. And if we truly believe the word of God, then it will affect what we say, it will affect where we go, and it will affect ultimately how we live. If I believe that Christ is the Lord of my life, it will determine how I live my life. And James is speaking about a believer who was once faithful to the house of God, once under the preaching of the word of God, once loved the fellowship of the people of God, and once acquainted with the power of God, but they have wandered from the wonderful waymaker, strayed from the sufficiency of the Savior, drifted from the dependable deliverer, coasted from the crucified Christ, backed away from the balm of Gilead. The truth of the matter is, they first wandered from doctrine, and eventually when you wander from doctrine, you'll wander from duty. Are you listening to me? Do you know anyone like that? Do you know anyone? I wish somebody would help me right here, and I'm talking to the St. Paul Church, because do you know anyone who used to be faithful to this church. I know a few. Come on, somebody help me. But for whatever reason, they wandered away. Do you know anyone who once could be counted on as dependable, reliable, and faithful, but today they're nowhere to be found? What happened? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you what happened in a nutshell. Listen, they allow something or someone to cause them, to wander from the truth. Their feelings became more important than their faith. Their love for the word of God led to a lack of the word of God. Their faithfulness turned to apathy because they had simply wandered from the truth. And listen, beloved, don't get too big for your britches and turn your sanctified and sanctimonious nose up at them, for it could happen to you. Can I just back up, say that one more time? Listen, don't get the big head. Don't turn your sanctified and sanctimonious nose up at somebody who's wandered away, because the truth is, it could happen to you. That's what James is simply trying to say, that if you think it can't happen, if you think you're so above making a mistake, if you think that you are out of the realm of falling into failure, going to always do everything right, never wandering, never erring, never faltering, never missing the mark, then let me just say it like I want to. You big time tripping. Go ahead, type that in the comment section. Just say, you big time tripping. Yeah, you messed up. You need a check up from the neck up. You need to know that, listen, it could happen to anybody, and I don't care how long you've been in church, I don't care how big your Bible is or how big the cross around your neck, I don't care how many scriptures you know or how, I wish somebody would help me, I don't care how many hymns you sing or how many solos you got in the choir, listen, it could happen to you. Are you listening to me? As a matter of fact, let me throw the book at you, because 1 Corinthians chapter 10, line 12 says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful lest you fall. Can I just rephrase that real quick and resonize it? If you think you're all that in a big old bag of chips, be careful, because sooner or later the bag will bust and the chips will be stale. Can I say it like I feel it? Listen, everybody has to come to the place to realize that it could happen to us. Are you listening to me? And that is, beloved, the mistake that could cause drifting. And all of us need to know that we got to stand by the truth of God. We got to stand on his word and make sure that we know what we know and believe what we believe. And listen, beloved, I pray that it never happens to you or happens to anyone. But James seems to say that it is a real possibility that someone among us may soon wander, or even you and I may wander astray from the things of God. When that happens, mark it down. That person first will stray from doctrine, then will stray from duty. First, the wanderer, that they will wander from the belief, then from their behavior. They will wander from the word, and soon they will wander in their walk. It's a tragic mistake, beloved. But I also not only want you to see the mistake that causes drifting, I want you to see a ministry that makes a difference. I wish somebody would get this real quick. This is my second point, that a ministry that makes a difference. Go ahead, type that in the comment section if you would. My first point was the mistake that causes drifting, but my second point is a ministry that makes a difference. Ooh, I ought to shout right here. That's shouting news. When you got a ministry, when you part of a ministry that makes a difference, that will make somebody run and leap. And listen, I don't know about you. I can't go to a silent church because I got too much stuff that God has brought me through. And when I think about the goodness of God in my life, listen, I can't help it but to give God some glory and praise. And I got to be vocal with mine. I'm sorry, I may be too loud for you, but listen, all you need to know that if you're part of a ministry that makes a difference, somebody ought to tap hallelujah in the comment section. Somebody ought to say praise Jesus. Let me show you what the text says about a ministry that makes a difference. I got two sub-points. Stay with me. I'll let you go. Here it is. It seems that I hear about a fallen preacher, a Christian, or a church member every week that used to be a time where we never heard about such a thing. But with all of this social media and all this stuff on television and all ways you can get instant information real quick, it now seems to be a common occurrence. What is your reaction when you hear someone in the faith has fallen? What do you do when you hear that someone has wandered or strayed away from the things of God? Do you rush to the telephone and say, girl, did you hear? Girl, did you know that such and such did such and such? Child, let me tell you. Are somebody listening to me right now? The truth of the matter is, do you delight in spreading that news? Do you gossip and tell somebody else about something you wouldn't want to be told about yourself? Do you point the finger in accusation or condemnation, or are you concerned enough to go hunt that person down and help that person up? That's what real ministry is all about. And James reminds us that while there is a burden of the mistake of the one of our fellow believers that may fall, hear me, beloved, the truth of the matter is, there's also a blessing that comes from real ministry, a ministry that makes a difference. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, line 18, he says that God has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, when a fellow believer wanders and strays, we have a responsibility to reconcile them, to restore them, to resuscitate them back to spiritual health. And James reminds us that real ministry, this is a real ministry, first of all, for two reasons. First of all, because it is a ministry that produces restorative results. A ministry that produces a restorative results. James says in verse 19, to the one who has wandered from the truth, we as spiritually mature Christians, watch this, have a responsibility, he says, to bring them back. In that verse, the words bring him back in verse 19 and the words bring back in verse 20 come from the same Greek word that literally means to turn around or to convert. It means literally, it talks about repentance. Someone who lays down the sin and walks back toward God. Are you listening to me? James is speaking of those fixed stars bringing back the wandering planets. It is like the shepherd going out after the sheep that is lost. The same thought is found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, where we read, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, that's the key. You got to be spiritual, because everybody ain't spiritual. Everybody ain't trying to do it God's way. Everybody ain't trying to do it the Christian way. Everybody ain't spiritual enough to restore folk. That's a caveat. I want you to hang on to that, because the truth of the matter is, he says, ye who are spiritual, those are the ones who need to restore or such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted also. This is the ministry of restoration. Faithful believers are to go after fallen believers. The walking Christian is to bring back the wandering Christian. Those that are strong ought to help turn around those that are weak. It was Charles Spurgeon who wrote about the issue, and he said this: I have known a person who has wandered, who was hunted down like a wolf. And although he was wrong to some degree, that wrong had been added aggravated and dwelt upon until the man had been worried into defiance. The manhood of the man had taken sides with his error because he had been so severely handled. His fault had been blazed abroad, retold from mouth to mouth and magnified until the poor erring one had felt so degraded that he has given way to far more dreadful sins. The object of some Christians, Spurgeon went on to say, is to amputate the limb rather than heal it. Listen, beloved, the truth of the matter is, Spurgeon aptly describes the attitude of a whole lot of Christians and certainly a whole lot of churches, and the action of these churches and individuals when it comes to wandering believers, let me just suggest to you, is the wrong attitude. However, James says that God has not given us the ministry of condemnation, but he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I like that. We are not to shoot the wounded, but we are to save the wounded. We are not to ostracize and criticize the wanderer. Our goal should be to restore the one who has gone astray. You see, I've discovered, beloved, maybe you have too, that whenever we point a finger at somebody else, you always got three pointing back at you. I wish somebody would help me. The truth is, we all got issues. We all got problems. We all got stuff. I wish somebody would help me. And we can't be too snooty. We can't be too, we can't be too high-minded that we're no earthly good. When someone wanders, we ought to hunt them down and then help them up. Can I say it like I feel it? We ought to hunt them down and then help them up. Ain't no sense in hunting them down if you don't have no intentions of helping them up. Ain't no sense in going after them if you are not prepared to help them up. And can I just tell you real quick, everybody needs a little help every now and then. Everybody needs a lift. Everybody needs encouragement. Everybody needs some strength that comes from others around us. We ought to hunt them down and help them up. In other words, the fix planets must go after the wandering stars, and the faithful must bring back the unfaithful. It is a ministry that produces restorative results. Finally, it's a ministry that produces eternal results. Notice the real impact of real ministry. Watch what he says in verse 20. Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Somebody ought to shout amen right there. If somebody ever came to get you, if they ever came to get you at the crack house, if they ever came to get you to take you back to your family, if there somebody ever came and told you what to do that was right and put you back on the right path, you ought to say amen. We ought to bring them back. In other words, get the picture, beloved? A believer has fallen. One of our own who used to be faithful to the Lord had become unfaithful to the Lord. One who was once a fixed planet has become a wandering star. So what do we do? James says, bring him back. We got to go after him. We must bring him back into the fold, or her back into the church house. We must turn them around to make sure that their fellowship with God is intact. They know the Lord, but they've wandered away. We got to hunt them down and help them up. When that happens, we are not involved in a ministry that not only produces restored results but eternal results. First, James says, watch this, he says, when we bring the wandering sheep back, it is a life-saving work. He says we save a soul from death. That word death in the Greek is thanatos, and it is better rendered punishment. James is not speaking of spiritual death, but physical death. In other words, listen, once a person saved, we believe always saved. Listen, God doesn't have some big eraser up in the sky where he writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and every time we make a mistake, he erases our name. No, we have a spiritual relationship with God, but because of the wandering or the sin or being astray, listen, beloved, we lose fellowship with God. And so, beloved, he's not talking about spiritual death. He's talking about physical death, that there are some things that we can do in this world that can literally kill us if we keep on doing it. It'll take us out. It'll take us under, and it will take us down. I wish somebody would say amen. Somebody can shout, I was close to death. I didn't know if I was coming. Matter of fact, I died on the operating table, or I died from an oath. I wish somebody would help me. I got shot 3 times. Listen, there are some stuff that can literally take us out. And James is saying that there's some life-saving work that we take the person from death to life when we go after them, because there are some things out there that can take them out. Listen, in other words, while the fallen believer may suffer chastisement for their sins, they will not die because of their sins. And that is real ministry. We go after them, turn them around, bring them back, and their life is spared. Secondly, he says about a ministry that produces eternal results, that not only is it a life-saving work, but it is a heart-cleansing work. He says, you'll cover a multitude of sins. The Greek word cover literally means to conceal or to or veil. It is used 8 other times in the New Testament. On one occasion, it speaks of how waves swept over a boat. On another occasion, it pictures a lamp hidden in a jar. Ultimately, the word speaks of atonement. It is where God covers our sins. I wish somebody would help me. The truth of the matter is, James is not saying that we ought to condone their sin, but when we bring them back, listen, beloved, that we bring them back to Christ, who forgives them and cleanses them from their sin. We're not condoning it. We're not saying it's all right, but we get them to the one who can forgive sin. I wish somebody would help me right here. And the truth of the matter is, love covers a multitude of sin, and that applies to my life and yours as well. In other words, covering does not speak of minimizing the sin, but magnifying the Savior who has made the atonement for their sins. Can you see the kind of ministry God wants us to have? It ain't about coming to St. Paul. It's about coming to Christ. It ain't about just coming to church. It's about coming back to the Lord that can forgive your sins. And we who remain faithful must go after, bring back, turn around the one who for whatever reason has become unfaithful. Not only do we spare their life from death, but we are bringing them to the one who had paid a price for their sins so that their sin can be forgiven. I can't think of any greater ministry, and that's what I want as I lead the church of St. Paul to be. I want us to be a ministry of restoration where we go after the ones who are out there, the ones who used to be in here and that are lost. It reminds me that in 1902 and 23,000 automobiles were on the road compared to 17 million horses. People viewed motorists with animosities. Farmers dug potholes for them to fall into, and communities passed restrictive and unposted speed limits, fining offenders exorbitant amounts. That year, a group of troubled car enthusiasts, met in Chicago and formed a support group, the American Automobile Association, so motorists could encourage one another. Can I tell you that this organization called AAA Roadside Assistance assistance plan started shortly thereafter so that the motorists could literally pull each other out of the mud. Today, millions of Americans carry a AAA roadside car in their hand. And listen, it's worth its weight in gold when you blow a tire on the freeway. It's worth its weight in gold when you lock yourself out of your car, or you run out of gas on a darkened road. I'm willing to pay for AAA. I wish somebody would help me. And yet, beloved, the same is true of the church. 2,000 years ago, a group of visionary believers under the authority of Jesus Christ and the church, Jesus under the authority of Jesus Christ, began traveling down the straight and narrow roadway, scorned by neighbors, talked about by their families, and despised by their friends, and was subject to the occasional ditches, ruts, potholes, and even breakdowns. All along the way, however, God planned for his local church to offer roadside assistance. I wish somebody would help me. And the church exists in part so its members can encourage one another when necessary and pull one another out of the mud. Listen, beloved, that's why I love the church with all of its challenges. That's why I love the church when all of its difficulties. That's why I love the church. For listen, it was through the church that I met the Lord for myself. It was through the church that my destiny was defined. My purpose was made plain. It was through the church that I found out that Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. Are you listening to me? It was through the church that I understood that God had a plan for my life. I still understood through the church that I was made for more. Are you listening to me? I was made for more than what I thought I was made for. Are you listening to me? It was through the church that I learned about education. It was through the church that I learned of the fact that God could save from the uttermost. I wish somebody would help me. It was through the church that I realized that God could pick us up. Ooh, and God could turn us around, and that God could place our feet on solid ground. That's why I love the church, because I realized that God loved me, that he loved me and looked beyond my faults, hallelujah, and saw my needs. That's why I love the church, because I recognize, for God so loved the world. Listen, how much did he love the world? That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How much did he love the church? He loved the church so much so that he walked up Golgotha's hill and he died on an old rugged cross. He loved the church so much that not only did he die, he died until the moon dripped like blood. He died until the dead in Jerusalem got up out of the grave and began to testify. He died until the centurion said, surely that must be the Son of God. He died and they took him down off of that cross. The Bible declares that they placed him in a borrowed tomb. I wish somebody would help me. And he didn't stay dead, but can I tell you what the old preacher used to say? He used to say, it was bright early, Sunday morning, that Jesus got up with all power in his hand. Bright early before bacon could sizzle. Bright early before eggs could fry. Bright early before toast could be in the oven. I wish somebody would help me. It was bright early Sunday morning that he got up with all power in his hand. And I'm so glad, beloved, that he got up that early Sunday morning. And that's why, beloved, Jesus said it like this. He says,
upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Am I right about it? Is there anybody here who loves the church? Don't fool me now. Is there anybody here who loves the church? And if you love the church, you ought to shout amen. If you love the church, you ought to type in the comment sections, hallelujah, I love the church. If you love the church because of what God did and how God used the church, you ought to give God some praise. Am I right about it? You ought to wave your hand in the air and wave it like you just don't care. You ought to give him some praise up in here. Am I right about it? Can I ask you this? Ain't he all right? Won't he make a way? Won't he pick you up, turn you around, and place your feet on solid ground? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Won't he do it? Won't he make a way out of no way? Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, beloved, there are people all around us today who are helpless and hopeless. And it seems that James is reminding us that if we will be the one who helps restore those who are wandering away from God, it will make all the difference in the world. Listen, I'm done. I'm done today. Listen, there's some out there that you know who you are. You know where you are in Christ. Perhaps you're out there and you've wandered away from the church. Some who was here 24 years ago when I left, but for whatever reason, you're not here anymore. You're not logged on. You're not connected. You have made a decision that you're going to do it your way. Listen, I want you to know, I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. Let me just suggest to you, you're welcome back in this church. Somebody needs to come home. Somebody needs to say yes to the Lord. Somebody needs to give their life back to God. You've been wandering. You've been out there. You've been doing other things. But God says it's time to come home. And listen, church, we want to be receptive when they come. Don't turn your nose up. Don't be snooty. Don't be looking at them funny. And let them come on home. And help. And church, we ought to help restore them back. Listen, I got a list of brothers that I'm going after because I know they belong in church. Now, there are some that join other churches. I get that. But there are some, you ain't going nowhere. You need to come on home. And listen, this church will gladly receive you and open our arms to help you to go get back to where you were in the Lord. And listen, church, if we do that, it's going to make all the difference in the world. And even if it's one that comes back, it will make all the difference in the world to that one. Listen, the Bible is clear in Romans 10 and 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved.